Chesa Medalef, four lines from the bottom of the page. In the Mishnah it said, this is going back, we're in the middle of the Gemara, going back to the Mishnah, that if somebody throws a stone into a public place, and if somebody, you know, he kills somebody, it's, you have to run to the city refuge. But along together with that din, it said that just like a yard, because the Torah says, if when the Torah is speaking about a guy killing somebody accidentally, the Torah says a guy was in the forest to chop wood, and the axe, the splinter, would went and killed somebody. So the Gemara is analyzing, why is the Torah discussing a yard, a forest? Who cares where it is? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Torah, every word is exact. So the Gemara learns, yard teaches us that just like both people have permission to be there, the same thing, any place that both people have permission to go to, then you go to the city refuge. But if you come into my backyard, or let's say somebody comes into my backyard and gets killed accidentally, you don't have to run to the city refuge because I didn't give you permission to come to the backyard. Then the Gemara said, then the Gemara started discussing that if we're likening it to yar, to a forest, then it should only be done for optional chopping wood. But what would be if it's mitzvah? Okay, maybe you wouldn't have to run to the city refuge. So he says, because he said, it says in matzah, because I jumped the gun. The Gemara asked the question as follows. One Rabbanan asked Rava, that how do you know he's speaking about Rishus, optional chopping of wood, but if it's a mitzvah, you don't go to the city of refuge. Maybe even if it's a mitzvah, you also go to the city of refuge.
What's an example of a mitzvah?
Like we learned chopping wood for a sukkah, or chopping wood for the wood on the mizbech that they needed. So he says, because if he would have had wood, he wouldn't have to go chop wood, so the chopping wood is not a mitzvah. So Ravina asked Rava a question. It says in the Mishnah that if a father hits his kid because he's not behaving, it's a mitzvah, so he doesn't have to run to the city of refuge. Okay? So he says, why didn't you say if the kid behaved, he wouldn't have to hit him? Mm-hmm. So my answer is it's still a mitzvah to hit a kid. Okay? Then Rava answered, what I answered is not true, and therefore it means just like by your yard. Okay? You could, if you want, you can go in. If you can go out, if you don't want to go in, you don't have to go in. The same thing, if it's a mitzvah, you have to do it. Okay, now this is what we're up to now. So Ravada Bar Ava said to Rava, you just said a statement when it says, Asher Yavai, it means optional. So you asked the question, Kol Heicha Dechsiv Asher, whenever it says the word Asher, are you telling me the boy have it that if he wants to, he could do it, and if he wants to, he can't do it? I'll show you that the word asher in Chumash means that he had to do it. Not that you say that it's optional. Why? Because it says, Ish asher yitma v'lo yischatom. It says in the Torah, the din as follows. If somebody is tamei, if somebody is impure, and they go into the Beis HaMikdash, being impure, they get kares. That's the halacha. If you're impure and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you become kares. So it says, are you telling me it says asher yitama vish asher yitma, right? You're telling me it means iboy lay mitma, that the din only applies if you could become tummy or not become tummy, for instance. But mes mitzvah delay saga delay mitama. But if somebody finds a mes mitzvah is you find a dead body in the street, you don't know who hit it, who killed it, or you don't know anything, you have an obligation to bury it. A mes mitzvah means a dead body that nobody is taking care of. So you have a mitzvah to bury it. So the din is, a Jew has an obligation to bury this mes mitzvah. Are you telling me that if that guy goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to get kares? Because what does the Torah say? A person, asher yitma, asher, which according to Rava means optional, became tamei. Then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and his tamei gets kares. Are you telling me that means that if it was a mitzvah, that he had to become tamei, he's not going to get kares? And we know the din is he's still going to get kares. Are you telling me Hachanami departed, that he's going to be freed from kares because he was doing a mitzvah and that's why he became tamei? It can't be. We know that halacha is not like that. The halacha is any tumah, you have to go into the, and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you get kares. So he says, you're right. Over there is different. Shani Hasim Da Makra Tame Yihya Mikomakim. Because there's an extra word, Tame Yihya, which means any tuma. You're right. The Pasuk Asher Yitma means only optional tuma. How do we know if you became Tame because of a mitzvah, you also get chorus if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash? Because there's an extra word, Tame Yihya. So because it's an extra word, that even your tummy, under any circumstance, if your tummy, under any circumstance, if your tummy, you go kardis. But the Gemara asks, but that tummy yi is not extra. That tummy yi I use for something else. Mm-hmm. What's the Gemara's pattern over here? Asher yitma means only optional. So how do you know a guy that became tummy because he had to also gets punished, also dies? Because it says Tame Yihya. It's an extra word. The Gemara says it's not an extra word. We learn out other things in that word. So it's not extra. What's the question? Ahomi Baile Lechidatanya. We need it for what we learned in the Braisa. It says the following. Tame Yihya. It says in the Pasuk Tame Yihya. The Rabbis Tful Yom. To include a Tful Yom. Or Tomase Baile Rabbis Mechuse Kippurim. There's a din as follows. The din as follows. A tful yom means a guy that went to the mikveh. He was tamei. He was impure. He went to the mikveh. He went to the mikveh. But he's not finished the purity until the night. In Chumash, there be many psukim, it says, v'tamei ad ha'erev. He's still tamei until the night. Even though he went to the mikveh, he's still tamei until the evening. Another pasuk says, when a guy becomes tamei and he finishes the impurity, he has to bring a korban. That is the ultimate purification. And there's the stages of becoming pure from impurity, in many impurities. There is going to the mikveh, which is stage number one. Many times you have to wait, most of the time you have to wait until nightfall. In addition to that, you have to bring korbanis. You have to bring a korban. Now, what happens if a guy went to the mikveh at 12 o'clock at noon and he's tummy until nightfall, which is 6 o'clock, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon he went into the Beis HaMikdash? So the din is he would get kardis.
Yes, yes.
The question, how do you know he's going to get kardis? He's pure already.
He's not pure.
Because the Torah says tummy, yeah, he's still tummy. So the Gemara's question is, the word tummy, he is used to teach us that even a tful yayin, a guy who went to the mikveh during the day. But if he goes to the Beis HaMikdash before nightfall, he gets kaddish. So how can you say it's to teach us that if you became tamei, because you had to become tamei, you found a dead body in the street, and you had to become tamei, how do you know from there that the guy is going to get kaddish? And the same thing, tumasi bay is mechusse kippurim. What happened if a guy was tamei, he went to the mikveh, he even waited until night, but he didn't bring the sacrifices yet. He's still chayiv kardes for going into the Beis HaMikdash until he finalizes the bringing the carbon. Amaleis, he says, you're right, but ana me'eit tumasi kamin. I have another extra word. I learned now from another extra word, eit tumasi bay, that even a tamei meis, that you have an obligation to become tamei, even then, if you go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're not pure, you still get kares. Okay, this is the end of this Gemara. Now, the Gemara starts, the Gemara is going back to what was one version of the Gemara before. Now the Gemara is changing the version. But we'll see clearly from the Gemara anyway. Ika demasnu aha, some people learned Rav's statements, that Rav said before a statement, not concerning Ari Miklat, but concerning Shabbos. What does it mean? Shemitah. What does it mean? It says as follows. It says in the Torah, Bechorish Shevakotzu Tishbeitz. It says concerning the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, the Torah says, you have to rest from plowing and harvesting, from reaping. So Rabbi Kiva, Eimer Rabbi Kiva says, Ein etzaruch leimechorish shel Shvias. The Torah doesn't have to tell you against plowing in the seventh year. v'katzah shel shvius, or harvesting in the seventh year, because the Torah already said sod chole sizra v'chamer chole sizmer. The Torah already says you can't plow your fields, you can't plant your fields, you can't plant your vineyards. So why does the Torah have to say an extra pasuk, rest from plowing, if the Torah already said you're not allowed to plow? So obviously it's an extra pasuk. So Rabbi Kiva says, what does it refer to? Elafilu chodesh shel eder shviyus, even if plowing was done before Shemitah started, meaning at the end of the sixth year. V'shenichnas l'shviyus, that went into the sabbatical year, it's also forbidden. V'katzah shel shviyus, and that cutting of the seventh year, that went into the eighth year, meaning to harvest in the eighth year what grew in the seventh year, is also forbidden. That's what Rabbi Kiva holds. It's very simple din. The Torah says twice the same thing. Don't plow in the sabbatical year. Now the Torah doesn't repeat itself. And if the Torah does, you learn something from it. So Rabbi Kiva says, what do you learn from the fact that you're not allowed to plow your field? If the Torah already says you're not allowed to. So it teaches us that even if you plowed it before the seventh year, and things grew in the seventh year, it's forbidden. Or if you planted in the seventh year, and you harvested in the eighth year, it's also forbidden. Because the extra pasuk is including, not only if everything was done in the seventh year, but even if you started before, and it grew in the seventh year, or you started growing in the seventh year, and you harvested in the eighth year, still also, still forbidden. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Shmuel, Amen. Rabbi Shmuel says no. You know what? The Torah teaches us something else. Just like plowing is optional, the same thing, reaping is only forbidden in Shemitah if it's voluntarily. Meaning not a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. What he means, Yatzik tzir ha'emer, but if you cut the emer on Shabbos, okay, I'll explain in a second. Shul mitzvah, so the mitzvah, you're allowed to even cut it on Shabbos. In other words, as follows. The Torah teaches us, and Bishmol, interestingly, takes the extra pasuk of the sabbatical year and uses it for a regular Shabbos. Because if you don't need it for sabbatical year, put it somewhere else. Where's logical to put it? For Shabbos. What does he mean? So the Bishmol learns the following. Just like in the sabbatical year, it's been talking about voluntarily type of plowing. The same thing, Shabbos, it's only forbidden harvesting, which is not a mitzvah. But if cutting is a mitzvah, you're allowed to do it even on Shabbos. Where do you find such a thing of harvest? Huh?
Mila.
No, this is... That is also a special pasuk. He said they had to cut the Omer. The Omer, they had to bring, from the day they brought the Omer, you count X amount of weeks, right? So they had to cut the Omer. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, if it was on Shabbos, they're allowed to cut it on the night of Shabbos.
Let me cut it.
To cut it from the ground. They needed, huh?
You mean Friday night?
Yeah. The Omer offering was brought on the second day of Pesach. Now what happened the second day of Pesach was Shabbos? So Rabbi Shmuel held, they're allowed to cut the barley. But no, the main problem is not the carrying. If you separate something from the ground, it's a biblical malacha. So Rabbi Shmuel learns interestingly. He says, the Torah says twice, by Shemitah, not the harvest. Now I only need one pasuk, so the other one's extra. So we're using it now for Shabbos. And Rabbi Shmuel learns the following. What type of cutting, harvesting, is forbidden? Only a personal cutting. But a mitzvah cutting, you're allowed to even to harvest on Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Shmuel is. Rabbi Kiva says no. It means something else. What does the pasuk conclude? That not only if it grew entirely in Shemitah is it forbidden, if you started before it, it grew in Shemitah. Or if you started in Shemitah and it grew afterwards, it's still forbidden. Okay, this is all in the middle of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Now the Gemara is really going through the same exact Gemara we just had before by Ari Miklat. So somebody, one of the rabbis asked Rava, Mimai the Charisha Rashus, how do you know the Torah is referring to plowing, which is voluntary, not a mitzvah? Dilma Charisha Eimed the mitzvah. Maybe when the Torah says don't plow, he says the very Rabbi Shmuel said the Torah says don't plow, it means voluntary plowing, not mitzvah plowing. So he said, how do you know? Maybe when the Torah says don't plow, even a mitzvah cutting, you're also not allowed to. And the Torah still says tishbeis, you're not allowed to do it. Another Rabbi Shmuel said a statement. When the Torah says don't harvest, it means voluntary. He said, how do you know? Maybe it means even a mitzvah. And even a mitzvah is forbidden to cut. How do you know? Maybe. Amalei, so he says, I'll tell you why. Because the cutting is not a mitzvah. If you have barley, you don't have to cut it. If it's pre-cut, you don't have to cut it. Like, remember the Gemara said before by sukkah. The Gemara asked the question, maybe cutting wood of a sukkah is a mitzvah. So the Gemara said, what do you mean it's cutting of the wood? Cutting a tree for a sukkah is not a mitzvah. Why? Because if you have wood, you don't have to cut. There's no mitzvah to cut a tree for a sukkah. The Torah says you need wood, right? If you have wood, there's no mitzvah to cut a tree. You can't say it's a mitzvah to cut a tree. So he says, who says it's a mitzvah to harvest either? If you have barley for the carbon omer, you wouldn't have to go cut it. So Eisei Ravina L'Rava. So Ravina asked the question to Rava. In our Mishnah, it said it then as follows. Yotzal Avav's Makas Benai. Normally the Gemara said, if a father kills a son, God forbid, accidentally, he has to go to the Ari Miklat. What happens though, a father was hitting his kid because he wasn't behaving, and he accidentally killed a kid, or Harav Areidas B'nai, Harav was chastising a student and accidentally killed him, or Shliach Beznin, an agent of court, who has given somebody Malkus, and didn't overlash him, because then he would be a murderer. But let's say, like we learned last time, the din is that before somebody got Malkus, the Besdin doctor checked him out and saw how many lashes he can handle. So the max he can get is 39. But what happens if Besdin, the doctor evaluated, he can get 15. And the guy was whipping him. And after 11, the guy died. So the din is, the shliach that did it doesn't have to go to the city of refuge.
What about the doctor?
Also not. What happens though if they said 15 and the guy hit him 16 and then he died, then the shliach that hit him has to go to the city of refuge because that's his negligence, he overdid it. But if he did what Bezin told him to do and he was doing a mitzvah, punishing a person is a mitzvah, according to the Torah, so he doesn't. So v'amai, the question is, why do you tell me that a father that hits his kid, it's a mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have to go to Ari Miklat. Kiven deilu gomer lav mitzvah. If the son of the student would behave, there's no mitzvah to hit him. So there's no mitzvah to hit. The mitzvah is to behave. But if he behaves, so let's take over here. If you have wood, you wouldn't have to cut. If you have barley, you wouldn't have to cut. The same thing, if the kid behaved,
he wouldn't have to
hit him. So Gemara says, no. Must have a very interesting statement. We learned this last week. Hasim alpha gav the gomer, even if a kid behaves, nami mitzvah kav, it's also mitzvah to hit him.
If he wants to, if the father wants to.
No, it's a mitzvah to hit a kid, even if he behaves.
Why?
Well, Yaakovita asked the same question last week. Why? Why do all the kids ask this question, not the parents? Why? Because it says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Yaseh bincha, chastise Yisrael, meaning punish him, be an ichenach, and he'll bring you rest. Shlomo HaMelech says, hit the kid.
So that makes the mitzvah?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Gemara is answering. The Gemara is saying it's a mitzvah to hit a kid.
Whatever Shlomo HaMelech said, it becomes a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Just about sparing the rod or something?
Sparing the rod, spare the child.
Yeah.
Shlomo HaMelech also said that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's a mitzvah you have to be, you know, very machmir about and just keep hitting your kid. I mean, I don't think that's what the Gemara is meaning, at least. But Hada Amar Rava, then this is exactly the repetition of the Gemara before. Then Hada Amar Rava changes his mind and said, La Milsi Damru. What I just told you is not right. Why? Because Ksira Dum Yerachrish. The reaping has to be mentioned similar to the plowing. What does it mean? Machrish, just like plowing. Matzah Chardish, if it's plowed. Eina Chardish, it doesn't replow it for the sake of a mitzvah. Av Ksira Nami, the same thing with harvesting. Matzah Katzir, Eina Katzir. If it's found cut, you don't have to, there's no mitzvah to cut it. V'isakadaitach mitzvah. And if you tell me it's a mitzvah to cut, the grain, the barley, matzah katzer, ain't a katzer, what do you mean if he found cut barley, he doesn't have to cut it? Mitzvah lixir love it, but if there's a mitzvah to bring, there's a mitzvah to bring. Another Rav is saying as follows, there's taka mitzvah to bring to cut the emir. The Torah says in the pasuk, uktzartem es ktsira, vaveisem es emir. The Torah says you have to cut it and bring it. So he says, the truth is, the Omer is taka different. Because the Torah says you have to cut it. And it's a mitzvah to cut it. And even if you had cut, it's still no good. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, you're allowed to even do it on Shabbos. Because it's a mitzvah to cut. And if the Torah says it's a mitzvah to cut on that day, like a bris milah. Yeah. The Torah says it's a mitzvah to cut the bris. Do the bris on the day of the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos. Under most circumstances, so then you do it also.
And that's why you can shech the behemoth on Shabbos, also.
Only in the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, because the Torah says it's a mitzvah to bring a carbon. Out to the Beis Hamikdash, obviously not.
And light the menorah too, right?
Yeah, well, everything was done on Shabbos, but a guy couldn't bring a gift animal on Shabbos as a carbon.
Personally.
Yeah, if a guy wanted to bring a personal gift to the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, you weren't allowed to do it. A public carbon, the Torah says, you have to bring, not only the regular, like we learned, you have to bring a carbon musaf, you have to bring an additional carbon. But that the Torah says clearly. So Rav is saying that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a mitzvah taka to cut. And even though you had pre-cut, it's no good, you have to cut and bring. You have to cut specially for the mitzvah of the carbon omer. Okay, next Mishnah.
Would they cut at night, you mean?
Yeah.
Why not the next day,
I mean
the morning?
Because the next day already they had to bring it. And they wanted to bring it right away in the morning. It's cut the night before its offering. Okay, now the mission is continuing in various people. Go to Ari Miklat, and which people don't go to Ari Miklat. So it says, Ha'av Geila Yedei Aben, a father has to go to the city of refuge if he through his son. Meaning, if a father killed the son, not as a mitzvah. Stam.
Yeah.
He was doing whatever he was doing, and he kills his son, he has to go to Ari Miklat. Okay?
It's his own son. Who's going to come after the father being revengeful?
Maybe
a brother or could mother,
be. Anybody.
Anybody, yes. Some part of the family.
It could be a half brother.
Half brother, yes. Anything, yes.
Step brother. It could be anybody. In fact, the first question in the Gemara is: we just got through saying that if a father hits a son, it's a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you mean if he killed him accidentally? But that the Gemara is going to ask right away. Another din is Vaben Golai De Ha'av. And his son has to go to Ari Miklat if he accidentally killed his father. Okay? In other words, if his son accidentally, God forbid, killed his father, the brothers can kill their brother unless if the brother runs to the city of refuge because he killed his father. And they're the relatives. Then it says, Hakol Gela Naidei Yisrael, and the Gemara is going to ask what this means, but everybody goes into Golus for killing a Jew. V'Yisrael Gela Naideiem, and a Jew gets Ari Miklat for killing another Jew. Chutz miger teishev. Ger teishev literally means a residential alien. What does this mean? A ger teishev is a guy. Mamish a guy. He's not a ger. He's a guy who accepts in Bezdin to keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei neach because God told Meisher Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to do it. And he was a guy. He never became a Jew. but he had certain privileges in Eretz Yisrael that a regular guy didn't have. That's the halacha. There's no ger teishiv today.
But doesn't somewhere in the Chumash it says that Avraham Avinu a ger toshe?
When Avraham Avinu wanted to buy Marsa Machpelah,
yeah,
from Ephron, he said to him, "Ger v'seishiv aneichim achim. I'm a stranger and a resident."
Yeah.
So Rashi explained, "If you want, I'm a stranger.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Whoever you're going to treat nicer.
I
some people treat yeah. strangers nicer.
Yes,
some people treat citizens nicer." Avraham Avinu said, "I'm both. Whatever the nicer one you're going to do, that's what I am." But a ger toshav, the Rambam talks about this. The Gemara talks about it. But the Rambam brings it down. Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam writes, "There's no ger toshav today." A ger toshav is very simple. A guy who accepts to keep the seven mitzvahs that a guy has to keep, but he does it because God told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that a guy has to keep those mitzvahs. So it says, what happens if a Jew accidentally kills a ger toshav? So the Gemara said, the Mishnah is saying he does not have to run to the city of refuge.
But the city of refuge wasn't for him anyway.
Who? No, if a Jew kills a ger toshav.
If a ger kills a... How do you say it again? I didn't...
No. If a Jew kills a ger toshav...
I see. By mistake. By mistake.
He does not...
He doesn't have to run to the...
Right. The ger toshav ein agela ayde ger toshav. And here the word doesn't know what this means yet. But the Mishnah, the fact, what the Mishnah is saying is that if a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, he has to go to the city of refuge. And obviously there's a contradiction here because he just got through
saying
Jew,
yeah,
and Jew.
Yeah.
And how does the ger toshav get in there? Okay. So the Mishnah basically said, very simple did. If a father kills a son, he goes to the city of refuge. If a son kills a father, he goes to the city of refuge. Jew killing Jew goes to the city of refuge. Jew killing guy doesn't. I mean, that was basically the din of the mission. So the Gemara asks right away, Ha'av gelai de ben, how can you just say that a father goes to the city of refuge if he kills his son? You just said, Yata av amakas b'nei, that if a father hits a son, and by mistake the kid dies, he doesn't go to the city of refuge. So how can a father ever go to the city of refuge? So the answer really is very simple. The Gemara is speaking as follows. The kid learned, and the father didn't have to hit him. But the Gemara asked, but you just got to think it's anyway a mitzvah to hit him, even if he behaves. It's still a mitzvah to hit a kid. So he's speaking as follows. Beshulya denagri. It's speaking as follows. A father was teaching his kid a trade. Shulya denagri is an apprenticeship of a carpenter. And the father was teaching his kid, let's say, how to use a hammer in carpentry. And by mistake, the hammer flew out of his hands, or he gave a kid the zets on the head, whatever, and he killed this kid.
That could happen in the field, too.
Yeah, anyway.
The Gemara doesn't mean only an apprentice. The Gemara is asking an apprentice because the Gemara is going to ask a question on it. But you're right, they're speaking. In other words, the other din that a father hits his kid is freed is when he's disciplining his kid. Either because the kid doesn't behave, or even if he does behave, he disciplines him with a patch. But here we're talking that a father mamash killed his kid accidentally, not disciplining him, not doing anything. Stami killed him by mistake. Then the father does have to go to the city of refuge.
Did we learn that there's an age limit up to age 16 that he could beat the kid up?
Yeah.
He can't hit him over age 16.
Yeah, but here he's speaking accidental. He didn't hit him intentionally with the hammer. But the Gemara asks an interesting question. But there's a mitzvah for a father to teach his son a trade. So why isn't this a mitzvah also? He's teaching him to become a carpenter. So why isn't that called a mitzvah? The Gemara asks, surely the Nagra, but if you tell me about a carpentry apprentice, Chiyusahi is teaching his son a livelihood, right? And it's a mitzvah. So why would he have to run to the city refuge? It's also a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, the garment of Nasachrite. The kid speaking in a case where a kid knows another trade anyway. This was extra trade.
Yeah.
So it's not for Parnasa, because the person has a living.
Yeah.
So therefore he killed him. But it's interesting, the Gemara says, based on this Gemara, that if a father was teaching his kid a trade, or for that matter, a father was teaching his kid how to swim, which is also a mitzvah, just like it's a mitzvah to teach him a trade, and by accident, in the swimming lesson, the kid died, he would not have to go to City of Refuge. Or if you're teaching the kid a trade, and he doesn't know another trade, this is the trade that he's going to use for Parnassa, and God forbid you kill him, the father has to go to, does not have to go to City of Refuge. But if the Stam, the kid, the father and the son were out hunting, right? And by mistake, he shot an arrow and it killed the kid. You know, obviously on the way coming down, not the way going up, like we learned before in the Gemara. He shot, let's say your father shot an arrow to kill a bird, and the arrow went down, missed the bird, let's say, went down, hit his kid and God forbid killed him. Right? Like the story in Chumash with Lamech.
Yeah, yeah.
Killed his kid by accident. Then you would have to go to City of Refuge. Even though it's the father and the son. Or the son and the father, it doesn't matter. But
is it a mitzvah for accidental murder to run actually to the City of Refuge?
Yeah.
Just like a get is?
No, it's a mitzvah because you have to save your soul. The Torah says you have to shmar to medel nafshisechem, you have to take care of your health. If you're there and the guy could kill you at any given moment, it's a mitzvah to run. If a guy is out there in the street shooting people, it's a mitzvah to run. What's the mitzvah? You gotta run. If you're out of the City of Refuge, a guy could kill you, you have a mitzvah to run. The quicker the better.
In the case of the swimming, if the father already taught him how to swim, just showing him how to dive and stuff, and the kid died,
that would be extra. Yep. Because that's not a mitzvah.
He's still learning.
Yeah, but there's no mitzvah to teach a kid how to dive. The mitzvah to teach a kid the survival. There's no mitzvah to teach a, what's the mitzvah of diving? That's already...
Yeah, when he has to jump off the cliff, run away from a wolf.
That, I don't think that's the mitzvah aspect of it too much.
Vivid imagination.
Okay, now the Gemara goes into a very interesting question. It says, if his son kills the father by mistake, the son has to go to the City of Refuge, right? The Mishnah said that the son goes to Golus if he kills his father. So Gemara says, "V'ramin, I'll ask you a question." It says in the pasuk, "Makin nefesh." If somebody hits somebody and kills them, yeah. So the Torah says, the Gemara learns out, "Makin nefesh" means prat l'maki aviv. It excludes one who kills a father. What does this mean? In Torah law, if a kid hits a father or mother and makes him bleed, he's chayiv misa, even if you don't kill them. If a parent is made to bleed by a child, it's chayiv misa. Okay? In fact, that's one of the reasons why it's a whole question, not only in moral medical ethics, but in halachic ethics, can a doctor treat his father? Can a child do surgery on his father when he's opening him up and he's making him bleed and all that? So Halacha Taka says, if there's somebody else, you're not allowed to do it. Unless the father Dafka wants you or whatever. But I'm saying if there's somebody else, a child should not do it. Why? Because a child who hits a father, maki ove v'imei, meis yumas.
Is that only if the father or mother complain? Or?
No. If a kid hits a father and there were witnesses and the warning and everything, Ma'isyumas, the Torah says he gets chenek.
Yeah.
He gets killed. Now, when the Torah says maki nefesh, it means, the Gemara says, it excludes somebody who gets killed for not killing somebody either. If I hit you and I make you bleed, so I don't get death, I maybe have to pay damages. But if a person hits somebody and makes him bleed, he doesn't get killed. So therefore, such a person, the Torah says, Maki Nefesh, if he killed him, then you have to go to the City of Refuge. But the Gemara says, this excludes somebody who you hit. Without killing him, you would also get killed. That person is not included in this pasuk. That's what the Gemara learns out from the Torah teaching us. Meaning that Golus is only Shayach for striking a person dead. But if you can strike a person and get killed for striking him not dead, meaning a child who hits the parent,
yes,
and makes him bleed, halacha is, so then it doesn't include it. So the Gemara's question is, a very simple question. How you just got through saying that a child goes to the city of refuge if he hits the father. In another price it says, if you hit your father, God forbid you kill him, you don't go to the city of refuge. Our Mishnah says you do. So Mar says, you're right, it's two opinions. Everything else, it's two opinions. Harab Shimon, Harab Bana. One opinion is Rab Shimon, one opinion is the Chacham. What's going on here? It says as follows. Rab Shimon, the Amar Chenek Chomor, Rab Shimon holds, Chenek is a more stringent punishment over Hereg, killing with a sword. I'll explain the whole thing in a second. So, according to Rab Shimon, it says Chenek is Chomor Misayif, Shigig Asayif Nitna Lekapara. If you do it with a beheading, you can get kapara. Shigigas chenek, but if you accidentally do an aveda that would choke the person, that you'd get choking, lenitna la kapara, you wouldn't get kapara. It's a very simple concept. There's four types of death: skila, sreifa, hereg, and chenek. Stoning, burning, beheading, sword, and chenek, choking. Those are the four capital punishments. There's a big machlokes in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, which is the worst of the four?
What does it matter?
What does it matter? It's a good question. Who cares?
Stoning.
One second.
Burning. Put some
to take a poll. What is the most stringent death? What's the difference? There's one general difference that doesn't apply to Agumar, and the Gemara is using it as a second difference in Agumar. If somebody commits two sins and capital punishment, okay, one would get skila and one would get sreifa. Okay, you did one sin that is two parts,
yes.
And one part would get skila and one part would get sreifa, right? Which punishment do you get? You get the worst one. Which one do you get? So if skila is the worst, you get skila. If sreifa is the worst, you get sreifa. So you have to know what punishment to give a guy who committed one aveda, or, I'll give you another thing, a guy did two avedas separately. One skila, one sreifa. Okay? Now, best has to kill him. Which one do they give him?
Beheading is worse. Because he's separated in body parts.
It might be less painful than the other ones.
It's going to be buried without his head.
No, you get back the head. You do a quick slice, it just comes back. The question is, which one's worse? Okay, so now, if you kill a father, okay, and you first hurt him. If you kill a father, if you beat up a father and make him bleed, when it says mace you must, it's chenek, choking. If you kill somebody, it's hereg. It's hereg. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody killed his father, but he did two parts of the killing. First he made him bleed, and then he killed him. So now he gets chenek, and he gets headache. Now the question is, if chenek is stricter than sword, the city of refuge is not going to be enough for you. Because city of refuge is only a kapara for you to become beheaded for killing somebody. But if you have to get choked, Ari Miklat is not going to be a kapara for you. If it's not going to be a kapara for you, then you have no reason to run to the city of refuge. The purpose of the city of refuge is to be forgiven for the crime that you did. Sometimes, remember we learned in the Mishnah before, Kartav Lemezid, if it's almost intentional, Ari Miklat is no good for you. Because if you did too severe a sin to be forgiven through the Ari Miklat. Okay? So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Shimon says, Chanek is chomer than Saif, than beheading. Okay? Now, murder, you get beheading. Blemishing your father is chenek, choking, strangulation. Yeah? So Rabbi Shimon says, Chanek chomer misayif, that strangulation is more severe than beheading. So therefore, if a person deliberately stalked and killed his parent, right, he would be killed by which of the two punishments? Chenek. So Ari Miklat is not going to be good enough for Chenek. Why? So Shigiga Sayef, if you do a crime where you should get beheaded, like when you kill somebody, Nitin the Kapara, Ari Miklat will forgive you. Shigiga Chenek, but an accidental Chenek, meaning you hit him in a way that you would get Chenek, so Bezdin, Ari Miklat is not going to be enough for you.
The parent is made to bleed accidentally, the son gets killed?
In other words, let me prepare one second. According to Rabbi Shimon, hitting a parent is a worse crime than killing him. According to it's remarkable.
You judge the crime according to the punishment.
Right.
It's not always the case, is it?
One second. The Gemara is saying now, I know what you're referring to, but the Gemara here is saying that the level of the Aveda is judged by the punishment. Now, if hitting a parent, you get chenek, and killing a parent, you get hereg, they kill you with a sword, they behead you, and chenek, according to Rabbi Shimon, is worse than hereg, right? That means hitting a parent is worse than killing a parent. So if you're doing it, just kill them. Because it's a worse aveda, right? So Rabbi Shimon says, that's why this Bryce, it says you don't go to Pratamaki Aviv. If you hit your father, you can't go to Ari Miklat. Why? Because he's not going to forgive you. In other words, it's an interesting concept. The Gemara is discussing here, even if you didn't kill the parent, if you accidentally hit them, can you enter the Ari Miklat?
If you accidentally hit them.
The Gemara says you can't because it's not going to forgive you.
Accidental hit, you get killed?
Makia Avivim and Meis Yumas.
Doesn't mean intentional.
But the question is, can you enter the city of refuge?
If they're not going to forgive you, no.
No, it's just like you don't even have to go.
Huh?
Why should he have to go? He didn't do it intentionally.
No, actually, even if you killed him, you wouldn't have to enter the city of refuge. Yeah. Why? Because it's not going to forgive you for the aveda that you did.
It's all accidental, both the killing and the hitting.
Right. What did you want to ask? No, you not that.
That was a question.
Oh. According to Reb Shimon, you wouldn't, if somebody hit his father and then he died because of it, he wouldn't have to. He couldn't run to the city of refuge because it wouldn't help him. But if you hold, beheading is worse than choking, then the kid would have to run to the city of refuge. Because for the worst crime, Golus is good, which is killing. But the city of refuge won't rectify the first act of what he did. It's strange, according to Reb Shimon, hitting a father is worse than killing him.
By some other means.
No, but it's not...
By what you did. What?
I don't think Reb Shimon is concerning in this case. It's altogether, chenek is not severe as the heretic.
Yeah, but that's why the Gemara is saying, according to Rav Shimon, you wouldn't run to the Ari Miklat because it wouldn't help you.
Understand, that's the conclusion that Gemara makes. That doesn't mean that Rav Shimon holds that. All Rav Shimon says that Chenek is not as severe as Herik.
Right.
In all cases, in any kind of punishment.
No, but I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara is saying it's not true. Because according to Rav Shimon, like we said before, when you do two crimes, they get two punishments, you get the worst one.
Right.
Now, if you kill somebody intentionally, you get headache, killed by the sword. But the Torah says, if you did it accidentally, go to Ari Miklat. Because you judge for that sin, for killing, for getting beheaded, that the bezin kills you. For that, Ari Miklat is enough. But if there's something more severe than that, who says Ari Miklat is going to help you? So if a kid hit his father, and then the father dies, right? So if he did it intentionally, he would get chenek for hitting the father, and headed for killing the father. But now he's doing it accidentally, it would only help for the headache part, not for the chenek part, and that's what he's being judged on. Because that's the worst of the crime. So Reb Shimon said, you came into the city refuge, it's not going to do anything to you. It's not going to forgive you.
So they wouldn't let him in.
So then you could say that two cases where a person accidentally kills his father. Let's say he was just swinging a sword around and he didn't see his father. First it hit him and they caused him to bleed and then he died.
That's the case the Gemara is talking about. You're right, that's the case the Gemara is talking about. And in such a case, according to Reb Shimon, which the Brisa says, he wouldn't go to Ari Miklat, wouldn't help him.
So then, if you say it like that, you could use it with every case.
Like what?
If you kill a person, first you damage his...
That's not punishable by death. Only if you hit... If you hit somebody else and you make him bleed, you don't get killed.
Right,
only a father or mother.
But if, let's say, you accidentally shoot... if you shoot someone else... And the lawyer or whatever say that, you hit his skin, so you have to pay for the damage, and you killed him, so you get killed.
So no, according to in that case, you only get killed, you don't pay damages. Kim lebed rabamine, you only get the worst of the damages. If I burn your things in Shabbos, so I did two things, firing, making a fire, and destroying your things, right? So I get killed for desecrating. I don't have to pay for your stuff. Torah says, "Kimle b'drabamine." You get the bigger the punishments. If there's death or money, you get death, no money. But the Gemara takes it a step further. If you get death or death, you get the severest death. Now the question is, which one is more severe? Is skila, seifa, hereg, and chenek? Which is the order, by the way, of the Mishnah. Which, by the way, according to that, everybody holds skila is the worst, sreifa, hereg, and chenek. Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim argue, is hereg worse than chenek, or is chenek hereg? Because that they're arguing which one is the two. Most people say skila is the worst. The most severe. But between hereg and chenek, so the Chachamim hold skila, sreifa, hereg, beheading, and then chenek, then choking. And Reb Shimon says, no, chenek is worse than chenek. And here's the big difference. What punishment would you get? The Rabbanan, though, according to the Rabbanan, the Amri that say, Sayiv chomer michenek, that chenek is worse than chenek, that means when you kill somebody, it's worse than beating up the father. So hereg aviv b'shegig. So if you kill your father accidentally, it's shegig asayif. It's shegig of a punishment of sword. V'shegig asayif nitna l'kapar. And the Torah says, bottom line is that for sword you can go to Ari Miklat. So that's the view of our Mishnah, like the Chachamim, that if a kid kills his father, he goes to Ari Miklat. According to Rav Shimon, he would not go to Ari Miklat. If, one minute, if he killed him by first hitting him. But if the guy just killed his father straight away, accidentally, you would go to Ari Miklat.
Okay.
What?
I was just checking Shema to order it.
Oh. Over there, Skila Seif Harik Chenik. Because that's the halacha. Skila Seif Harik Chenik. But even the stoning, by the way, just parenthetically, stoning is not that the guy stands in front of a wall and everybody throws stones at him. That's not what Skila is. Skila, they threw him off a two-story building. I mean, two-story platform.
And then dropped something.
And then they put a stone on his head. That's Skila. Sreifa, they gave him hot lead to drink.
Yes.
Hereg, they chopped off his head. And Chenek...
They choked him.
They put a rope and two guys stood and each one pulled.
Yeah, I thought they hung him.
Afterwards they hung him.
What's the point?
The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk that kol, what's the lashon of the Mishnah? Whoever gets killed by Bezdin is hung, but not overnight.
No.
Only a short period of time.
Yeah.
Says ki kill us a lakin tolui. Right.
Why do you do that?
Torah says no reason. I mean, sure, there's a reason, but
to show the people.
Part of it is to show the people, whatever.
Something.
Okay, so now the Gemara answers a different answer. The Gemara asks the contradiction. Our Mishnah says if a son kills a father, he goes to Ari Miklat, and the Braisa says no. So the Gemara answers this whole. Rava answers a very simple answer. The Braisa that says that if you hit your father, you don't go to Ari Miklat. He's not speaking if you killed him. You just made him bleed, accidentally. So the Braisa says, you don't go to Ari Miklat. Even though if you did it intentionally, you would get killed, if you hit your father. Mm-hmm. So I would think maybe if you do it accidentally, you have to run to Ari Miklat. So the Gemara says, no, you don't go to Ari Miklat, because you didn't kill him. As it says. Rava says, the braisa that says you don't go to Ari Miklat if a kid did it to the father is speaking a case that you hurt your father accidentally and you made him bleed. Why would I think you have to go to Ari Miklat? It's very simple. By death, if you kill somebody purposely, you die. So therefore, if you do it accidentally, you go to Ari Miklat. So I would think, if somebody hits the father intentionally, that kills him. If somebody hits the father intentionally, he gets killed. So I would think that if you hit him accidentally, you have to go to Ari Miklat. So we say no. That's he says. I would think, if you did it intentionally, if you hit your father intentionally, you would get killed. So I would think, if you did it accidentally, you should go to Ari Miklat. Kamashmalan, the Torah teaches us no. Because the Torah says only if you kill him.
Any reason why if you hit accidentally you get killed?
Huh?
Does it say why you get killed if you hit him accidentally?
No, you don't.
If you hit him accidentally, you don't get killed?
No.
Oh.
No, I would think though, just like if you killed somebody intentionally, you get killed. So therefore, if you do it, kill somebody accidentally, you go to Ari Miklat.
Right.
I would think that therefore, the same way, just like if you hit your father, not killed him, hit him.
Right.
Intentionally, you would get killed. I would think if you hit him accidentally, you should also go to Ari Miklat.
But you get killed.
No, right. Accidentally, you don't get killed.
Okay.
If he hits his father accidentally, he doesn't get killed?
If he doesn't kill him, no. It's only accidental since you never get killed. It's only if a kid went over to the father and hit him and made him bleed.
If he kills him accidentally, he still gets killed, though.
No, Ari Miklat.
Well, both cases.
Yeah. No. No, hitting him, you don't go to Ari Miklat. Yeah. Nothing happens to you.
If you hit him accidentally, nothing happens to you?
No.
Does the same thing apply to stepfather?
No. No, this is only biological father, Terry says. That doesn't mean you're allowed to hit anybody. Getting killed is only natural biological father and mother.
A ger.
A ger head. There's nobody to hit. Not related to anybody.
So is he allowed to marry his sister?
Technically, yes. Halacha says no.
Why?
because it doesn't look right. As a guy, they could marry each other, and as a Jew, they could. It doesn't look nice. Okay. Now the Gemara says, in the Mishnah was a din that Hakel Gerlin Aidei Yisrael. Everybody gets. It says in the Mishnah already, if a father kills a son, son kills a father. It says already, you go to Ari Miklat. Then the Mishnah says another brainstorm, that everybody goes to Golis if a Jew killed a Jew. So Gemara says, Lasuye Mai, what does it include? I mean, it's a redundant statement, it has to include anything. So it says, Lasuye Eved Vikusi, which includes if somebody kills a Goyish slave, or a person who's a Kuti, which according to this Gemara, the Gemara holds they're Jewish. There's an old argument in the Gemara of the Kusim. The Kusim, one of the nations brought by the Assyrians to populate Eretz Yisrael, and they became involved, they converted to Judaism. The only question is, were they real converts? Weren't they real converts? So this Gemara is treating them as real Jews. Now,
is that the Samaritans? Is that part of the Samaritans?
No, I don't think so.
That the Kutzim were brought in by what's named to become Jews?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah. He said they became known in secular history as Samaritans because they lived in Samaria. Yeah. Sorry. If somebody buys a Goyish slave, like we learned, you give him a bris, he goes to the mikveh, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs like a lady, like a woman is. If he ever gets freed, he's a full-fledged Jew. Now, what happens if somebody kills an Eved Kanani accidentally? Does he go to Golos or not? So the Mishnah, by saying everybody goes to Golos, includes that if a Jew killed an Eved Kanani, or an Eved Kanani kills a Jew accidentally, then we go to the City of Refuge. Or if somebody killed a Kuti, or the Kuti killed him, they would also have to go to Ari Miklat. That's what the Mishnah is including. And the Gemara says, Tanina Lord of Ton Rabbanu, we talk of, this is exactly what we learned to the Braise, Evid Vakusi Gaila Valaika Ide Yisrael. The slave Kusi goes into Golus and receives lashes if he did something to a Jew. Because he has a full deal of a Jew. Yisrael Gaila Valaika Ide Kusi Ve'evid. And a Yid, if he kills an Eved Kanani, or does something wrong, he will get Malchus. You know, the Gemara is saying, that it includes that an Eved Kanani, who's not really a full-fledged male Jew yet, but he's still a full-fledged female Jew. I mean, halacha like a female Jew, so he's 100% Jewish. And the same thing with Kuti, therefore he has a din of a Jew. So therefore the Mishnah says that if a Jew killed an Eved Kanani, or Eved Kanani killed a Jew, they go into Golos.
So if anybody kills a woman, Chasper Chalila.
Same thing. If a woman kills also. Sure.
She too.
Sure.
Okay, now.
What?
No problem. When a father kills a kid accidentally, other kids of the family, his other sons or daughters, can kill the father, but isn't that like against the law to hit the father to begin with?
Yeah, but here the Torah gives you permission to.
Even if it was accidental?
Huh? Even if it was accidental? After
double jumping, should
we message the Ish Gaila?
The respect of a parent is one of the Ten Commandments.
But the same Torah says kill him. Let me ask you a very simple question. What happens if a father of somebody did a crime that gets capital punishment, and the Shliach Bezdin, that executor, is their son? Uh-huh. He does it.